This morning, I'm going to preach what I would probably categorize as a Sunday night sermon. Sunday night, I'm usually more practical than I am on Sunday morning. But I feel there's certain times that the Sunday morning crowd needs a Sunday night sermon. Had several people talk to me this week about things that were going on in their life and difficult things, hard things. Had a couple of our families that have had a dream for the past several months, and it looks like at least in one of those situations, it's not going to happen as they planned. Had some other people that had to go to the hospital. I asked Brother Leonard this morning, "How you doing?" He says, "It's been a tough week. Tough week." And I think it's been a tough week for a lot of people. And so I want to preach this morning a sermon entitled, "I Shall Not Be Moved." And it comes from Psalm 62. And I would just tell you that David wrote Psalm 62 at one of the lowest points in his life. There was a lot of things going on in David's life when he wrote this psalm. Let me just tell you some of those things that were going on by way of introduction. His son Absalom had rebelled. In fact, had gathered an army and was leading a revolution against his father. Now, that in itself would be something that would get us all upset and bring us down and get us discouraged. For your own son to lead a revolt against you. Well, that's what was happening in David's life. Absalom was leading a revolt against him. But that isn't all. One of David's counselors, a man who had been David's friend from his childhood, a man by the name of Ahithophel, turned on his friend David, turned on his king, and joined forces with Absalom. He said to his son, that again, that was revolting against his father, "I'll be your counselor." But that isn't all. David had a servant named Shimei, who, when Absalom led this revolt and David was about to leave Jerusalem, began to curse the king, began to throw sand at him, began to throw rocks at him. But that isn't all. There was a little boy by the name of Mephibosheth, a little cripple boy who was Jonathan's son, who, because of a promise that David made to Jonathan, went and adopted this boy, brought him to his table, treated him as a son. And again, when David was fleeing from Jerusalem because of Absalom, Mephibosheth didn't go with David. He stayed in the city. But that isn't all. A man by the name of Amasa, who was one of David's captains in the army. Not the leader of the army. Joab was the leader, but a high-ranking captain in the army. In fact, it was David's cousin. No, it was Joab's cousin. I think it was David's second cousin as well, as I remember the book of 1 Samuel. But Amasa joined forces with Absalom. He left David's army and joined forces with his son. And that isn't all. David had to leave Jerusalem. I mean, when word came that Absalom had raised this army, David said, "We got to leave. We're all going to be killed." And so he gathered his family and he left Jerusalem. He left the palace. He left the Ark of the Covenant that was there. I mean, he left his home, he left his throne, and he went into the desert to a place called Mahanaim. And while he was there, while he was in exile those days, he penned Psalm 62. And I hope you noticed verse 2 and verse 6. Almost identical verses. And if you weren't paying attention, you'd probably say they are identical. Word for word. But there's one word that's different between those two verses. Again, when all this trouble came into David's life, he said in verse 2, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." He said, hey, you know, when trouble comes in to your life, sometimes you do get shaken. And David says, I might get shaken, but it won't be greatly shaken. I might get shaken a little. And by the way, if we underwent what David underwent, I mean, we would get shaken. Some of you have been shaken this week. Some of you have shaken a little bit with the things that have been in your life this week. I mean, and again, I won't call any names. You know who I'm talking about. But you've been shaken. And David says, yeah, all this stuff that's in my life, I'm going to be shaken, but it won't be very much. In verses 3 and 4, he talks about some of the people that had turned against him. But then he says in verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation or my hope is from him. And then notice verse 6. There's one word difference, one word missing in verse 6 that was in chapter 2. For only, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. What David was saying is, I think about the kind of God that I have, as I think about the kind of God that he has been to me, and I consider all these things that have happened in my life. I tell you what, I'm not even going to shake a little bit. I will not be shaken at all. I will not move. David, what won't you move from? I got three answers to that question. David said, I will not move or be shaken from knowing that God loves me. He said, when God helped me as a boy defeat the lion and the bear as I was watching my sheep, I knew that God loved me. When he anointed me as a boy to be the next king of Israel, I knew that he loved me. When he used me to beat Goliath with just my slingshot and a rock, I knew that he loved me. When he protected me from King Saul, who wanted to kill me because he didn't want me to be the next king, I knew that he loved me. And when he set me up as a king of his people, I knew that God loved me. And David said, my whole life, all the experiences in my life, I have known beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has loved me. And now he says, just because a few things go bad, just because my son has rebelled, just because my friend has deserted me and joined up with my son, just because one of my captains have joined the enemy, just because I've had to leave home, I am not going to be moved from the fact that God loves me. You know, it's funny. Sometimes people think when everything is going good, God is pleased and they love him. And when things turn bad, God is displeased and he quits loving us. And I want to tell you this morning, that's a lie that Satan wants you to believe. When things go good, God loves you. But I got news for you this morning. When things take a turn for the worse, and when God puts you through some hardship, your God still loves you. His love does not change. Jeremiah 31, verse 3, the Bible says, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and it doesn't matter what circumstances are going on in your life. It doesn't matter what hardships you're facing. It doesn't matter that maybe your dream doesn't look like it's going to happen. There is still a God in heaven that loves us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And again, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the hardships, regardless of the fact that God may be putting you through a ringer, he still loves you. And from the Garden of Eden to Calvary to July the 12th, 2009, we have a God who has loved us. You say, did God love me in the Garden of Eden? Yes, he did. He knew you were going to walk the face of this earth one day. Did God love me at Calvary? Yes, he did. When Jesus died on Calvary, he knew about you and all of your sins, and he died for your sins. Does God love me today? Yes, he does. Again, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. You have a God in heaven that loves you. And David says, I am not going to be shaken, not even a little bit. I am not going to forget that my God loves me. Number two, David says, I am not going to be shaken. I am not going to move from the fact of knowing that God reigns, that God is in control. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, the Bible says, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And what that verse means is that God stands at the doorway of every one of our lives, and nothing gets into our life unless God says, okay, you can go in, or this circumstance can come in. And David says, I've known all my life that the omnipotent, all-powerful God reigns. And there's nothing in my life that has caused me to be shaken from that. When Goliath came on the scene, I knew that God sent him. And when Saul started chasing me, I knew that God sent it. Even when the temptation, and I fell to that temptation with Bathsheba, I knew that God allowed that to come into my life. And now that my son has rebelled, and my captain has revolted, and my friend has deserted me, and I have to leave home, and this servant has cursed me and threw sand at me, I know that God still reigneth, and these things would not come into my life unless he said, okay, okay. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible says, There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And I would remind you this morning, there is no trial, there is no test, there is nothing that comes into your life as a child of God, but God allows it. Allows it. And David said, I am not going to move from the fact that God reigneth. I am not going to move from the fact that God loves me. I'm not, Satan, you're not going to shake me away from those truths. I have a God that loves me. I have a God that reigneth. And number three, I have a God that works all things together for good. Works all things together for good. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. David could say, I understood it when I was anointed to be king. I understand how God could work good in that. I understood it when I defeated Goliath. I could see the good that God brought out of that. I understood it when we were winning the battle over the Philistines and I led the army and we won battle after battle. Now, on this occasion, David might say, I don't understand why Absalom rebelled. I don't understand why my friends betrayed me. I don't understand why my adopted son didn't come with me as we went into exile. I don't understand why I have been driven from my home, but praise God, even though I don't understand it, I am not going to move from the fact that I know, as he's done before, he is doing now, he will work everything together for good. I've told you the story before. Makes the point. Little boy was his grandma on a Saturday morning at her house, and she was making biscuits. And she said, her little grandson was named Tommy. He said, Tommy, would you like some flour? No, Grandma, flour tastes yucky. Well, would you like some baking soda? No, that tastes worse than flour does. She made her biscuits with buttermilk, and she says, would you like some buttermilk? No, I hate buttermilk. It's sour. And then when she got the biscuits out of the oven, she said, Tommy, would you like a biscuit? And he said, yes, Grandma, I love your biscuits. You see, the flour and the baking soda and the buttermilk don't taste so good when they're by themselves. And some of the things that God brings into our life, if we had to pick and choose, we'd say, I don't want that. It just, I don't want it. It doesn't taste good. I just don't like it. If I had my choice, I wouldn't let it come into my life. But I would remind you this morning that God knows what he's doing. And he will take the hardships and the trials and the heartaches that come into our life. And he will work them together for good. And David said, when he first started thinking about it, he says, I might be shaken a little. I might move a little, but not much. But then he got to thinking about God. He got to thinking about what God's done in his life in the past. He got to thinking about the kind of God that he had. And he says, I'm not going to move at all. I'm not going to shake at all. I'm going to stand on the fact that my God loves me and my God reigneth. And my God, when he lets those things come into my life, he's going to work them out for good. For good. Now, I know, there are people sitting here this morning and say, preacher, I just don't see how that can happen. There's something going on in my life right now. I don't see how God can work good out of it. That's why you're not God. And he is. That's where faith comes in. You got to trust him that he knows what he's doing. Let's sing that old song we sing sometimes with David. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water. I shall not be moved. Sing it with me. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water. I shall not be moved. Now, David, why aren't you going to move? He tells us in verse 2, in verse 6. He says, number one, he only is my rock. David says, I've tried putting my feet on other things, and they're not solid. But when I plant myself on God, I found him to be the solid rock. Now, let me ask you this morning, what have you got your life planted on? If your life is planted on anything but that rock, it's on shaky ground. Say, hey, I've got my life planted on my family. I'll tell you this morning, just like in David's case, your family may change. They may change. Well, I've got my life planted on my friends. Well, your friends may change. David had a boyhood friend. They grew up together. And yet when Absalom rebelled against him, his boyhood friend left him. Well, I planted my life on my strength. I planted my life on my ability to do things. You know what? You may lose that ability. You may lose that strength. Let's plant ourselves on Jesus. Let's plant ourselves on the Lord. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. You know, I got to tell you this. I was in the store. I like graham crackers. I mean, I just like graham. I like to take them and dunk them in milk. I'd rather have a graham cracker sometimes as opposed to an Oreo cookie or a chocolate chip. I just like plain graham crackers. And I always look for the best deal. So I was in Myers the other day, and I saw this box of graham crackers for $1.50. I said, man, this is a good deal because, you know, sometimes they're like $2.50, $3. And it looked like the regular box of graham crackers. I got it home. It was graham crackers to make s'mores out of. I mean, instead of the long cracker, it was a short cracker like this. I said, what? I mean, things changed. I couldn't tell from the package, but things changed. I want to tell you something this morning. Our God does not change. It says in the book of Hebrews, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest name, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. He will never change. David says, I'm not going to be moved because I am planted on a rock. A rock. He says, I'm not going to be moved because he is my salvation. He's my salvation. When I stood against Goliath, he was the one that saved me from that giant. When I ran from Saul, he was my savior. When I faced enemy after enemy, it was God that brought me through. And he says, it wasn't me. It wasn't my might. It wasn't my slingshot. It was God that was my salvation. And I want to tell you something this morning. God is the only hope that you have for salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, the Bible says that you're a sinner under the penalty of sin. And the Bible says the wages or the penalty of sin is death, separation from God. And there is nothing that you can do to change that fact. I mean, you can't join this church and change it. You can't get baptized and change it. You can't take the Lord's Supper and change it. The only person that can change you standing under the condemnation of sin is the one that went to the cross and died for your sins, Jesus Christ. And if you'll come to him this morning and ask him to save you, he'll save you. And you can say like David, he is my salvation. I am not going to move a bit. I am not going to move at all. He is not only my rock, he is my salvation. And then he said, he is my defense. My defense. It's not my might. It's not my army, it's not my strength, it's not my sling. My defense is in God. It's in God. He'll take care of me. He'll protect me. He knows the enemies that I face. He knows the hardships that I face. And God will take care of me. I was talking to one of the ladies in our church earlier in the week, and she was going through a trial, and I went to Psalm 34, and I didn't quote it right, but I just put it into my own words. I reminded her, hey, God has his angels that are encamped about us. They surround us. They surround us. And I reminded her, like I said this morning, there is nothing that gets into our life unless God and those angels say, okay, you can come in. And so David says, I'm not going to move. I'm not going to be shaken, not even a little bit. I am going to stand on the facts that God loves me and that he reigneth, and whatever he lets come into my life, he's going to work it together for good. Because he's my rock, he's my salvation, and he's my defense. So, you're here this morning in the middle of a trial, middle of a heartache, don't quit. Don't even move just a little bit. You plant your feet on that rock and you'd say like David, I shall not be moved. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you need to get on that rock. And the only way to do it is to come to him. Ask him to save you. We can help you do that this morning. You're here, you never asked Jesus to be your Savior. You come in just a minute. We'll take the Bible and we'll show you from the Bible how you can ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for David. Thank you that you use him as an example over and over and over again in the Bible about things that we face and how we should face them. And I pray, Father, that we would learn from his example. I pray, regardless of what you've brought into our life, that we will not be moved. We will know that you love us and that you reign and that you work all things together for good. Bless this time of invitation. I pray if there's just one person here that doesn't know Christ, this moment would be the moment they decide to ask Jesus to save them. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.